starting, and I'll be reading the King James Version. It says in chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That the righteousness for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous, the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can he can be. So then that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Father do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And that's our sermon title today, Abba, Father. And I said, you know, I'm not going to speak a lot about fathers because, one thing, some people may not have had a good experience with a father. They may not even know their father. I don't know. And you're blessed if you had a good father, a good earthly and godly father. But I do think that they're important because God made and created us all. And fathers were put on earth for a reason. And I'll share that with you in a moment. But, you know, some of them, as I said, some fathers may have let you down, may not have done the things you wanted to do. But you got to remember, fathers are human. They make mistakes and sin just like the rest of us. And sometimes they fail to be a good father because of their own selfishness, because of what they want and what they need. But I was blessed with a father that was good and a godly man. And I'm not going to say a lot about it because I will get kind of emotional, I'm sure. But I thank God for him. And I thank God, too, for those that are here today. The only trouble with preaching and sermons is that the people that need to hear, they're not here a lot of times. And as I told you last time, the best way to remedy that is to tell them what they're missing and invite them to church. But I'll tell you something that warmed my heart today, and just not picking your names out, but Jonathan here, a young father, and Stephen, a young father, have just blessed my heart to see that they're bringing their children to church. And this is what a good father does. But a good father also loves you, and we have a, we share a father, a heavenly father, you know. And he is great and he's wonderful and he loves us. And I'm going to try to share some of that with you this morning if the Holy Spirit will allow me. But the final thing I want to say about fathers is this, earthly fathers, that is, that the fabric of our society has fallen because the family has fallen apart. And God, when he created man, he created them to be fathers. And the fathers were set to be the head of the household, to lead, to make sure the family got a church and so forth. And Billy Graham said this, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the more valuable assets to our society." If we had more good fathers, our society would be much better than it is today. You know, as I said in Genesis, God created man and women. If you have your Bible, turn with me real quickly. I want to just share this with you because I like to go all the way back to the very beginning when I start somewhere. When I used to teach school, I wouldn't just start in chapter 5 or wherever we're at. I'd go back and kind of catch everybody up in case they missed something. In chapter 5, excuse me, chapter 3, very familiar here. We'll take a long look at this. Verses 15 through 19 and verse 21. This is after, of course, man had fallen after Eve had eaten the apple and gave it to man. And God went out and found him. He said, this is the punishment. He said, "I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And to the woman, he said, this is what he said to the devil. And to the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and it shall rule over thee." And to Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of the wife, and hast eaten the tree of which I command thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life." In other words, he said, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to sweat by your brow. And I found that out to be true this week. I need to stay on the mic, I know. I found that out this week in my work. It was hard work and hot work. And God said that's what's going to happen because of sin. But, you know, he was mad at him. He was upset at him. My father got mad at me, and I'm sure your father may have gotten mad at you. But I want to tell you something he did that was so loving. Look at verse 21 with me. "And to Adam also, and to Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make them coats of skin and clothe them." You see, at the very beginning of man's fall, God, our Heavenly Father, was looking after us. He made them clothes. He made them something to wear because he knew that their nakedness was no longer innocent because they had eaten the forbidden fruit. But he loved them. And this is what our scripture today tells us, that he loves us and that God loves us and that we are we are sometimes selfish ourselves. We sometimes look after our own selves more than others. And as I said, our Heavenly Father loves us very sacrificially. He cares for us. And if we trust in him, then we become part of his family. And this is kind of what I wanted to center on, is the fact that even though we have different earthly fathers, we have the very same Heavenly Father. And he really cares for us. And how can you become part of this family? And I hope all of you are already. But I'm sure there's others that aren't. In John, the first chapter, if you have your Bibles, you turn there. It won't take long to find that either. In the Gospel of John. The first chapter. Okay. Verses 12 and 13. Give you a moment, everybody get there, okay? He says, which were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That was verse, I meant to read verse 12 first. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That was the key verse that I wanted to read to you. And all we got to do is to believe on Jesus Christ. You know, we are children of God. Now, how can you become a part of a family? There's two ways. And I heard part of this in a sermon. You can be born into the family naturally. You know, or you can be adopted into a family. We adopted two children, Amy and Misty. They came to our family through an adoption. And the preacher I heard this week said, you know, that's kind of interesting, because when you are born into a family, the parents have to kind of get what they get. They don't really have a choice. They don't really have a say-so in what they get. You know, it's whatever God chooses to give them. But in adoption, you kind of have a choice. You know, and you know, it's just, it just came about because they were sharing about adopting teenagers. And how today there's a lot of teenagers out there today that are in foster care that needed adoption. And nobody really wants a teenager. They want little babies. But we are adopted into God's family. That means that we are chosen, you know, and we have special privileges when we become part of his adopted family. The Bible says we become heirs. We inherit what Jesus Christ has. You know, as I said about God, our Heavenly Father, being a giving father, he gave his most precious thing, his only begotten son, to suffer, as I read in the scripture there, to suffer death upon the cross. And we sang that song, Near the Cross. I chose that song especially because I know sometimes when we're singing hymns, we don't listen to the word, we don't read the words, we just sing and just sing out. But what happens is that we get away from the cross a lot. When you leave here, we got a cross right here in our sanctuary. But when we get out in the real world, we leave that cross a lot of times. But we need to draw near to it more so we can understand what it really meant for God to give up his son, to watch him die on that cross. We get a lot of, I guess, perks by being part of his family. First of all, we get forgiveness of our sins. Who hasn't sinned? We all sin. We get a lot of the guilt that we have inside removed. We get right with God. We become righteous. And we have a place in God's kingdom. And he's told his disciples, he says, I'm going away. I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you so you can be there with me. So he's got a place for us already. There's a place for each and every one of us in heaven. You know, we are special to Him, each and every one of us. Sometimes people feel like that God doesn't care about you, about me, about what's going on. Like this week when I had all those things happening, I had just a thought. I guess the devil did it. Now, see, that's where the devil works. He tries to catch you when the wrench goes down the hole, or when you back into a tree and bust your tail light out. He tries to catch you in a weak moment to say, well, God, you just ain't right. You're just not looking after me. But I said, it's going to be all right, because God has got my back. And the Holy Spirit is with me. And that's the important thing, that you get that peace of mind. And of course, the one other thing that's important is eternal life. Eternal life. Now, believe it or not, everybody gets eternal life. Reading Revelation, they all will be resurrected, both the good and the bad. The difference is this, that we're going to get to spend eternal life in heaven with our Heavenly Father, the one that created us, the one that breathed life into us, the one that gave us our souls, the one that loves us. And we're going to worship Him. Now, it's not easy. When you become a child of God, as I said, the devil's going to make it hard. You're going to go through some suffering. Jesus Christ told His disciples that don't expect to follow me without a lot of trouble, without a lot of suffering. And I can't remember the exact place in the Bible, but there was a lot of people following Him, and He preached a sermon like that and said, you know, there's going to be a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches. You're going to have to go without some meals. You're going to have to be beaten. You may even be run out of town. People's going to curse at you and fuss at you. And it said, the Bible said that when He left, a lot of people went home. They didn't follow Him anymore because the cost, they figured, was too great. But He told His disciples that I'll be with you. You know, most of the time we suffer a lot because we disobey God. We don't follow what He wants us to do. Disobey His commandments. We choose the desires of the flesh. And that's what the main point of the scripture I read this morning was about. If you look at your life, I'm going to call it pre-Christ and post-Christ. Think about your life before you accepted Jesus Christ, before you brought Christ in your heart. If you really have. I'm not saying that in a way that I don't know how many of you saved or how many of you accepted Christ. But if you've not really accepted Him and allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, think about the life you had before, if you say you did, before you did. Have you changed? Are you any different? There should be some difference between your pre-Christ life and your post-Christ life. We should be more committed to serving Him and loving Him and praising Him. You know, we are disciplined. That's another thing, too, that in the family, as a father, he disciplines his child. My father disciplined me, and sometimes it's a harsh discipline. It's with a switch or a belt or slap, because you can't do that anymore. That'd be abuse. But sometimes, though, discipline without a relationship leads to the two parties being at odds with one another. You understand what I'm saying? If a father or mother or anybody disciplines his child and doesn't have a relationship with them, they're going to despise them. They're going to hate them. They're going to begin to say, I'll be glad when I get out of here, or leave home, or run away. But if there's some relationship there, that discipline has a special meaning. I learned quickly. I taught school for 40 years. And Bobby Hamlin probably could tell me, he taught also for a long time. But when I first started teaching, I thought I had some rules. I made my rules up there. And you broke them, you got a paddling. We could spank kids back then. But, you know, I don't know if that really did the trick. I could enforce, you could even manhandle students back then. You could set them down, you could you could keep them after school, you could make them scrape the floor, but they put chewing gum on it. So, well, now you can't do that. But what I'm saying is this right here. I learned quickly that I could make some rules, but if I didn't get a relationship with my students, they were going to despise those rules. And they would break them. But you know, in the latter years that I was teaching, I had that special relationship with my students. They didn't misbehave, not because of Mr. Bryant's consequences, but because they didn't want to disappoint Mr. Bryant. They didn't want him to be upset with him. You see, that's the way my father was. He disciplined me, but he also wanted me, and I respected him, and I understood where he was coming from. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants us when he disciplines us to be, to understand that he loves us. He really does love us. You know, and probably the last thing as a family, and we're going, you know, this is something wonderful. We're a church family, but we're also part of God's family if we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts, is that when we get to heaven, we're going to share in God's glory. I don't know what all that's going to encompass, but I know it's not going to encompass pulling corn or irrigating or doing whatever I've done this week. I know it's going to involve a lot of singing and praising and worshiping God. So I get tired of that. I know it would. No, you won't. You won't get tired of it in heaven. I know that for a fact. But you know, going back to this word adoption, we adopt a child because we love them. You see, God loved us first. God loved us first. He chose us. He predestined us. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And I don't know, Donna was talking about those G-forces. I know we got a little rule in physics that if you push on something, it's going to push back with the same force, you know? And whichever wins is the way it's going to go, you know? And that wall, for example, can probably exert more force on you than you can exert on it. So if you run into it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get hurt. Because it can exert more force. Now, sometimes people are pretty strong go to it. But I'm just saying that because, see, God loves you. And God cares for you. And I don't think you can ever outlove God. He wants you to love him back. Just like he loves you. He said so. He really did. You know, as I said, some things that I go back to think about fathers again. A good father loves God. Like, and your Heavenly Father is one that loves you. But a good father will put Christ first in his life. I grew up with my daddy the first years of my life working right beside him, priming the roll of tobacco right beside him, hanging the barn of tobacco, whatever we did, we worked together. But very seldom did we talk about God. Very seldom would we talk about our Heavenly Father. We talked about what we got to do on the farm. But in his latter years, when Daddy grew close to Christ, and he became, went on some lay witness missions for the church, we were able to share something very special. You see, that's important for you young fathers, that you bring your children up and able to share. And there's some others here the same way. Some of you have lost your fathers through tragic accidents, through death, through cancer, and so forth. But in some instances, you had that relationship. You knew where they were. They were right. And when I say right, when fathers get it right, when fathers get it right. And you know, I hate to use the word father and mother because we had Mother's Day, but when the parents in a family, when they get it right, there's that verse in the Bible that was said in the Old Testament, and you probably know it. He said, as far as my house, we shall serve the Lord. If you make that a motto, we've got a little picture, haven't we, Billy? Hung up on the wall there. And as I said, I've had a lot of good things happen this week and last week. Going to a conference was a good, great thing. I told you about that. This morning we had a wonderful, I feel like, even though I was a teacher, you know, every time a teacher thinks everything's great. My students always wonder why I thought math was so good. But you had to say it was great and laugh about it and carry on. But in our Sunday school lesson today, Amos went up to Israel to prophesy against them. And he said, you have neglected those in need around. And the basic reason was selfishness. And you know, selfishness comes in a lot of disguises. Merle didn't stay. That's my brother, Merle. He must have went on back. His back must have been hurting. But he brought up at the very end, which I thought was very interesting, that we do a lot of little things that are very selfish. Like walking in front of somebody. He was talking about a cart. He said that there was a little old lady that got out. He spent last week, a week before that, in North Dakota working on a project. But he said there was an old lady, she just didn't even hardly walk, and people just going by her, just about knocking her down, getting a cart. There was carts out there, and they were getting the carts ahead of her. And he said, well, there's one back there. And so he went and got her a cart. And Merle has changed a lot. Now, I'm going to tell you, Merle has changed a lot, just like me. When Christ came in his heart, he's a different creature. And I praise God, and I'm going to share this in a moment, that I've got some family members that have accepted God, and it's great. But he said he helped her give into the thing. Then someone else said, hey, somebody, jumps in front of somebody, opens the door before they go in and won't open the door for them. Little things like that are really selfish acts. And so we do them all the time. We may not be as selfish as they are, as Israel was. They were in their beds laid with ivory, and they were drinking bowls of wine and eating the steaks for supper, and everybody outside was hungry and sleeping on the streets. He says, you can't do that. But there was a man one time, and I'm going to close this with this. There was a man one time that his child was very sick. He was dying. And on his deathbed, he went to his daddy went to him, and he looked at his daddy in the eye. He said, Daddy, will I see you in heaven? He said, sure, son. The man walked away. His son died. He had a BMW. He had a nice house. He had big bank account. He had a lot of things. But you know what? The Bible says he can't take a single one of them with him. You can't take your money. You can't take your house. You can't take your car. You can't take your tractors. What you can take with you is your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. So it behooves us as parents and as fathers that we make sure that our families know Jesus Christ. You know, I hope that as we think about this, that we can not only think about our immediate family, but everyone. This week, as I said, I was at this camp meeting every night preaching. But you know, the main purpose of every sermon was to preach to those that were lost, those that haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there were some sitting in that church, I'm sure, that had not. But there's many outside this church. And the only way they're ever going to get into the family is through an invitation through us, sharing and witnessing. I know, and I said that was the last thing. I do want to share one more thing, though. That story was told about a man that he couldn't preach. He was having a lot of time, hard time remembering. Mr. Billy, the one that ran it, he invited him up to the pulpit. And the first thing he did is got up there and said, "I can't preach because I can't remember things. But I wrote something down, I'm going to read it." So he gets up there and then he thought about it and said, "Well, I can't read it either." But he shared from his heart. But he left, and Brother Billy said he called him. He had to leave the camp meeting early. Said he called him and he said, "Brother Billy, you won't believe what happened to me tonight when I left and went and stopped at the restaurant." He said, "What happened?" He said, "There was a young boy there, and I asked him, 'Did he know Christ?' And he said, 'Well, I've heard about it.' And he said, I shared the plan of salvation with him, and he gave his life to Christ." Right there beside the water fountain. That's the kind of excitement that I would like to see us have here at Kipling. It's excitement we can come in and know we brought somebody to Christ. That we're going to take somebody to heaven. And we're going to be able to take our families and we'll all be there. It's not about all the Sunday school lessons and all that we do. It's about sharing the Word of God. Bow your heads just for a moment. I'm going to ask one of them to play a song here. I talked a little bit earlier. If you bow your heads, just close your eyes. Just a quiet moment here, just a moment as she plays the music. I want you to just reflect on what the Holy Spirit allowed me to say. I may not have said it the way I wanted it to come out. I may not have been organized the way I thought I had it. But the intent was to share with you how much your Heavenly Father loves you and how much He cares for you. And I know He cares for me. And I know I'm not perfect. I've accepted Him. I've done some bad things. I've done some terrible things. And I keep doing them. I sometimes say I'm not, but I am. But the devil just keeps on getting there. I overlook people that are in need all the time. And I pray to Heavenly Father that I can be more of a witness for You and to bring others. I pray for my family, dear Heavenly Father, those in my family that have not accepted You. I lift them up, and maybe somebody here is the same way, dear Heavenly Father, that they need to pray for their family members. We just lift them up to You this morning, dear Heavenly Father, and just pray that somehow we can find that effective witness that'll bring them to us. And I know one day, dear Heavenly Father, I can't be like You here on earth. I can't be as good as You were. I just don't have right now, dear Heavenly Father, the knowledge You had of Your Father. But I know You prayed for me, dear Heavenly Father. That night before You were to be crucified, You didn't call Ray Bryant by name, but You knew who I was and who I would be. I wasn't born then. And You know who my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren are going to be, and You prayed for them. You pray that the Holy Spirit would not allow the devil to take them over. And that's my prayer this morning, dear Heavenly Father. But I know one day, dear Heavenly Father, and it may be tomorrow, it may be soon, it may be within the next minute or hour, that I'll pass and I'll go home to be with You. And I'll be like You, Heavenly Father. I'll be with our Father in heaven, and we'll be together. I ask now, dear Heavenly Father, and I thank You for Your gift to us of Your Son and Your love. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.